Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. We are on board, ready to talk about the Lord Jesus and His coming that gave us such a wonderful spiritual unity with the body of Jesus Christ. We would have never known this before, folks. Never know. And the most beautiful time of day for you is the quiet time you spend resting in Jesus' love. There's no other way. And He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Last night, and Kimberly, thank you for being with me.
I love
in the
being
studio.
Here with you.
It's
Mom.
Just so much fun. We enjoy this together. If we had a podcast, we could be talking with people. That would be really fun, too, talking with
inviting
people from the outside. Inviting others, because we enjoy having people over. And in fact, that reminds me that on September the 12th, we're going to have a meeting at our home, my home, and we haven't had that.
Well, it's mine, too, while
That's
I'm here.
Why, yes,
just,
it's yours.
Just going to put
the,
that out
the
there.
The north wing of my home is Kimberly's. Yes, that's right.
Thank you for sharing.
You go past the stairs, and there she is. She's got all the back. And so we're going to, the last 2 months we've had brunch at the restaurant, and we've had kind of a Bible study around the table, which has been really fun. I enjoyed it so much, reading the Word of God together. But this month we're going to go back to the meeting at the home, at my home. And we are going to have brunch on the 12th, September the 12th at 9:30, and then at 11 o'clock, come to my home. So if you would like to come, join us. Oh, we'd love to have you come. And the phone number is 877-917-7256 to make a reservation for the restaurant.
Yes, just leave us your name and a phone number or an email, some way we can contact you to give you instructions and directions. And we will look forward to seeing you on the 12th.
The 12th is September. Boy, this year is going so quickly. We're going to get into Thanksgiving and Christmas before we know it. I've been going to the website more often and just checking out things, and I love going to the newsletter, and I believe that's under resources also. And they flip. When you go to the newsletter, it flips. It's kind of a really fun thing to flip through those pages and read some of the newsletters. They've got great articles, and Kimberly just put an article in the September newsletter called From Resisting to Receiving. So you might want to read that. Oh, they're such good articles. It doesn't take long to read, but they're things that'll stimulate you and help you to grow. I really believe they'll help you to grow in the Lord.
You have been so faithful with those newsletters, Mom, for years and years. You've put so much good content into those.
I
appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it. The day that Darren, after we had done the magazine for 3 years, and that was 17 pages every month plus radio every day. And I got exhausted. And when Darren finally said, why don't you want to come with me and go out and eat or go to the mountains? And I said, Darren, I'm working so hard. I can't take time. So I said, if you would cut down the magazine to newsletter size. And so he said, we can do that. And so we got that 11 by 17, folded it in half, and have a newsletter now for the last, 25 years. It's been really fun. Really
transitions
good.
Can be difficult, but they really are good for us to walk through.
Yes. Now, this going from live to recorded, I'm still coming to the studio, and we're recording our programs. I really missed speaking to the people live, knowing mm-hmm. that they were listening on the other end. But it's gotten to the point where I'm changing and I'm relaxing in the difference of what is going on.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So yeah. Get used to different. Isn't that what the Chosen says?
Yes.
Get used to different.
Get
so
used to different.
Folks, we're getting used to different.
Yes. And if you didn't get to hear the program yesterday, we just encourage you to go to the resources at freedomstreet.org. Find resources and go to radio programs mm-hmm. and listen to the intro on this, because we're gonna head right into Romans 9, and you might want a little background on what we're talking about mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, it's going from the impossible to the possible. And today we're doing part 2, because it kind of all joins from 2 Chronicles 20, where we started about the Edom being defeated by God for the country of Judah. So we are saying we're going to go from the flesh to the spirit. These two programs are going to be consistently about going from the flesh to the spirit. Mm-hmm. As Paul said in Romans 8 verse 6, of the mindset on the flesh is death. We
That's
don't
right.
want that for you. But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace.
Yes.
That's what we want for you.
Yes. Now, I'm glad you started there. You started in Romans 8. So let's just take that and bounce with that.
Okay.
Because
all right, we'll
Romans 8 is right before Romans 9.
Yeah. And we know the verse from 2 Chronicles 20:21, give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting. So let's just go from that and just go into Romans 9.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to hear the connection of 2 Chronicles 20, again, listen to yesterday's, because it's such a great connection.
Yes.
Romans 8. The end of the chapter of Romans 8, Paul is saying that in all these things that we experience, and he's saying in death, in life, we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered, in distress, in tribulation, in famine, in nakedness, in peril and sword. He's listing these things. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us.
Mm-hmm.
For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, what we've been talking about is the flesh us versus the spirit us.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has a plan to drive out the enemies in us,
yes.
in our flesh, the enemies that cause strife and discouragement and anger and self-pity. He has a plan to drive that out so that only the fruits of his spirit are left. That's what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, he ended Romans 8 by saying that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate any of us.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person on this planet.
That's right.
Can be separated from the love of God. Now, we as Christians have made this stipulation very often, saying that someone has to choose. They've got to choose God before he will show them mercy or compassion,
mm-hmm.
or loving kindness that's eternal. And that's a whole lot of pressure, because yes. there are many of you out there listening who have loved ones and people around you that you want them to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
You want them saved, and they are not making that choice. And it's grievous, right?
Mm-hmm.
It hurts
mm-hmm.
your heart to see them living the way that they're living.
Yes.
Paul goes on in Romans 9 to say that he has great sorrow and unceasing grief in his own heart because of the decisions that his people are making.
That's right. Yes. He's going through the same emotional upheavals that we do toward our loved ones.
That's
because
right.
he loves the people so much. He loves Israel. And what you were saying from 8 chapter 8 to chapter 9 is an indication of God accepting the Jewish people. How could he accept the Jewish people? They haven't generally mm-hmm. speaking, they haven't accepted Jesus as Messiah. And he's talking with such mercy and grace in chapter 9 toward the Jewish people.
That's right.
What is this?
Yes, yes. So it's really a beautiful chapter. Paul is so grieved and he's got so much sorrow that he's saying he wishes that he could become accursed and separated from Christ mm-hmm. for the sake of his brothers, his Jewish brothers and his
That's
kinsmen.
Right. Yes.
Who are Israelites. And he knows that they, his kinsmen, to them belong adoption as sons of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the covenant, the giving of the law, the promises, the temple service, to them belong all of this.
Yes.
Whose are the fathers and from whom is the Christ? Jesus came down through them.
Oh, I know.
So he is wanting them to see Jesus. And then in verse 6 of Romans 9, but he says this, but it is not as though the word of God has failed. The word of God cannot fail.
No, it's been tried and tested. Mm-hmm. Yes.
For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named.
That's right.
That is, we're in verse 8 of Romans 9, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise mm-hmm. are regarded as descendants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been talking about how our flesh tendencies in us cause us to go astray, and that's where the enemy he is the one who whispers in our mind and causes us to be triggered toward other people and produce fruits that are of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the enemy of God. But also within each one of us is the Spirit of God and
yes.
the promise of God.
That's right.
And we are made in the image of God. So that's where we want to be living our life, is in that promise. Romans 9, verse 9, for this is a word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Making the impossible possible.
Possible.
It was impossible
right.
for Sarah to conceive mm-hmm. and have a son. It was impossible for Abraham to give a son to her.
Mm-hmm.
They were way too old.
That's right.
But God makes the impossible possible. And we want to keep this in mind when we're looking at those of our loved ones, our family members who are straying from the Lord, that he has a story. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He has a story that's so much greater than anything that we can imagine.
Yes.
And so the straying that you might see, the rebellion that you might see, is not for death. It is for life to mm-hmm. come through Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and it shall come. Romans 9, verse 10, and not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad.
That's right.
See?
Mm-hmm. Anything
it's
good
not
or
even,
bad.
Yeah, it's not mm-hmm. what they are choosing. It's
mm-hmm.
not the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's story. In order that God's purpose, according to his choice, might stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. Romans 9, verse 12, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What then shall we say? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be.
Yes.
Okay, people have been really confused about that scripture. Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. How can this be true of God? Does he really show preference like that? If we keep that in the context of what we're reading from Romans 8 and Romans 9, and even go back to Romans 7, where it says, I'm doing the things that I don't want to do,
mm-hmm.
and I don't do the things that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
But praise be to God, he's got a plan in all of it.
It does.
And he's talking about the war of the flesh versus the spirit in each one of us.
That's
so
right.
If we take that in context, we're really reading about Esau representing the flesh nature. Mm-hmm. And Jacob representing the promise, the spirit of God within each one of us. When you see it that way, then you can go on and really grasp the rest of what the Romans 9 is saying, starting in verse 15. For God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it does not depend on the man who's making the choices. Mm-hmm. It does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy.
Yes.
Okay, let's just think about that for a moment. When we go back to verse 13, Romans 9:13 here, and it says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Which one of those men needs compassion and mercy? Is it Jacob?
It's Esau.
Esau needs it.
Absolutely.
Esau needs the compassion and the mercy of God.
And right here, it tells us in verse 15, he's going to show him mercy and compassion, not punishment.
It
doesn't say punishment.
It never says that.
No, never does say that, punishment. So we have
assurance.
We have assurance, but we have been raised to, like you said before on this program, dividing our allegiance by what people, people's behaviors rather than God's choice for them.
Right. And that happens across the board all over the world, whether it's political, whether it's religious. We have been polarized and against each other rather than seeing that God is a God of reconciliation.
Yes.
He is drawing all of this story, his story, all of history. Right. Do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. His story is his story.
Mm-hmm.
History.
Mm-hmm.
He's drawing it all to a conclusion of reconciliation and peace with him.
That's right.
And he gets to choose to do that through mercy and compassion when the human tendency might not want to show mercy and compassion toward those who have irritated them.
Because he's God.
He's God.
He's God. Verse 16, so then God's choice is not dependent on human will. And we decide everything according to what that person has done. Well, he's the liar of the family. Well, he's the one that's been in jail. Well, you know, that kind of thing.
No. Praise the Lord that he is a God of mercy.
Oh, he
is. And that he shows mercy to the unloved. He shows compassion to the unloved. That's what this passage of scripture is talking about.
Yes.
And he is calling his own people, his beloved people. That's us. That's you listening. Mm-hmm. He's calling us to do the same, to show mercy and compassion to the unloved.
Yes, that's right. It says here in the Amplified, God who shows mercy to whomever he chooses, it is his sovereign gift. It is sovereign gift.
That's beautiful.
And we just kind of throw it away and choose to condemn and choose to judge and criticize.
Right?
Yeah.
We need to stop that with all of our opinions and become more like him. See, because that's the flesh that does the judging and the criticizing.
Yes.
And that's what we want to offer up to God and say, we need you to drive this out of us.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't drive this enemy out, it will stay.
Yes.
But we want you to have your place in our lives. Your place of forgiveness and compassion and mercy and love toward the unloved.
That's right. That's why we can bind that spirit of rebellion or stubbornness, bind that spirit of complacency and apathy. We can bind those and loose that spirit of love and mercy on our fellow brothers and sisters. And this next portion, Kimberly, for years, I thought, well, Pharaoh is in hell and he's going to stay in hell.
Right. But that's the dividing that we have done. We've divided people up into, and I'm, when I say we, I'm talking about Christians in general, but any religion can do it. You know, any religion can say we're on the right side, you're all on the wrong side, and you're all going to hell and we're not. You know, and
that's how we've gotten denominations. I mean, hundreds of denominations.
And different religions, right?
Yes, that's right.
But in Romans 9, starting in verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I raised you up to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then, now he's confirming it again in verse 18. So then God has mercy on whom he desires and he hardens whom he desires. Verse 19, you will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will?
Yes. Why does he still blame me for sinning? Well, God of mercy and God of grace has provided a way where we can freely confess that sin that we've committed. Father God, I thank you that in Jesus' name you have forgiven me, because 1 John 1:9 tells me that. And we then drop the condemnation for ourselves. Yeah. Some of you, you've condemned yourself. You felt guilty. You felt shame. You felt unworthiness and inferiority. Stop it. Stop it. God loves you, and you just need to lay that down and let it go in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Now, I know you felt led to put that in right here, but this is seamless in Romans 9, okay. Starting in 19. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? And in verse 20, it goes right into saying, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Mm-hmm. Will it? So Pharaoh did not resist and fight what God was doing in him. He went right along with being hardened. God hardened his hearts for the glory of God.
That's all that Pharaoh knew.
Some people
are raised and they are in an environment where they grew up being rebellious and being cheats and being thieves.
And stubborn.
That's
and
right.
Hardened.
But God
right?
has an
God,
answer.
Yes, and he has a plan. He's writing a story that is really magnificent. And that's what we want to hook into. Realizing that God is so magnificent that he builds all of these literal stories from the Bible, from Pharaoh, from Moses, that he's building all of those stories into our lives along with the metaphorical to come to this same conclusion of drawing people to him. If we continue with Romans 9 verse 21, does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, what if he endured with much patience the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? This whole passage is talking about the compassion and mercy of God. We have looked at these scriptures and we've divided and said, yep, there's vessels for honor and there's vessels for dishonor. And we as humans might judge that. God is not.
No, and it doesn't even mean in verse 22 that God has prepared hearts for destruction.
No
way does it mean that.
It says that he's patient with those who have been hardened, right?
Yes.
Verse 23, it says, and he did so in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. He is talking about those vessels that we might call dishonorable, those vessels that we might call common. He's talking about vessels of mercy now, which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom he has called. We need to realize that the more we judge and stay in conflict with his compassion and his mercy, that we're just adding to the polarization of this world.
We are. Absolutely. I agree with you. Totally.
Verse 25 is amazing. Mm-hmm. Romans 9:25 says, and he's bringing it out from Hosea, I will call those who were not my people
My people. Yes.
Wow. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved.
That's why you like Hosea, Kimberly.
I know. I do. I love that he's...
Because Hosea, he was called to marry a prostitute.
Oh. Yeah.
Whoa.
Prostitute? Someone who is not faithful.
That's
and
right.
This is the picture and the story of God, who is in covenant with us, who is not faithful. We are a people who are not able to be faithful.
Right. Read Ezekiel 16. Oh my goodness, how he picked up Israel. She was in her blood as a baby and clothed her and blessed her. And then she went over and prostituted herself with all the heathen countries around her.
Yes.
And he still loved her.
And earlier in Romans 3, it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not about our choices that we make. It is about his love. Mm-hmm. It is about God's mercy and God's compassion. He wants us to be so wowed by his compassion and mercy that we are in awe of him every moment of every day. Yes. That is what he wants. He wants us to see him for who he really is. And Lord, we thank you right now that you are opening the eyes of your people. You won't leave their eyes blind. You won't leave our eyes blind. You won't leave us deaf to your whispers of love, that you will open our eyes and open our ears and give us hearts of flesh that beat hard after you, who are willing to say, make us willing, God, make us willing to say that we want to love the unlovable. We want to love the irritating ones just like you do, God, because that's what you do all the time. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for making us more like you. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So if we continue in Romans 9, verse 26, it says, it shall be that in that place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God.
Now, he's talking to Jewish people who, for the most part, have not accepted Jesus. And he's bringing his love around to talk about how they're going to be the beloved of God.
Yes, and he's also, this is from Hosea. So from the Old Testament, he's talking about a people that were never his people, that he's going to call them the sons of God. And what I love about Jesus coming in Matthew 5, verse 9, Jesus is giving us the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. It just comes hand in hand right here with Hosea, with Romans 9:26, that they shall be called the sons of the living God. When we understand that God is about making peace, and he wants his people, his beloved people, to be peacemakers, as we come alongside him and choose reconciling, choose being a bridge, choose being a peacemaker in the problems of your world, then we are now called sons and daughters of God. And he gives us greater peace, a greater joy than we can ever imagine. Our lives become more in one, in sync, in unity, and in harmony with him. And we're able to live on this earth with a veil that's been lifted from our eyes. That veil that has been there between us and him is lifting and becoming thinner and thinner until we can finally walk like Jesus walked, like he talked, and show his love to the world.
Oh, it's beautiful. All right. You can go to freedomstreet.org and click on radio show and listen to From the Impossible to the Possible. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.